This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Illinois settlement patterns did a lot to shape the early politics of the state and remain a force today, according to Illinois Wesleyan University political scientist Jim Simeone. Illinois was settled partly from the South in the Upland Southern Movement as people came north along the Mississippi River and up from Kentucky. Later waves came from the East and even from the North down from the Great Lakes as Canada and the Yankee East contributed people to the Illinois country. Simeone talks with GLT ahead of a presentation at the McLean County Museum of History tomorrow about the way settlement informed the politics.
Until about 1830, the vast majority of the people were from the Upland South. So it was not necessarily a slave state, but it was a state with slaves. And it was a state with people who thought as Southerners. The vast majority of the population were from Kentucky and Georgia and Tennessee.
Let's expand on how Illinois became Jacksonian.
That is an interesting story in itself. The party system, the two-party system, really didn't get entrenched in Illinois until the late 1830s. And it's really fascinating. How did it happen? Basically, how it happens just about any place that a party works. You need people to get out the vote. You need people to talk up your points, talk up your candidates, visit with their neighbors. And those people either knew someone who had been hired in a job or were themselves hired in a job, right? And so that transactional side of politics was very important. And it's remarkable to see how efficient it was. So, for example, if you look at the poll records in Illinois in the 1820 through 1835 period, people are voting all over the place. You know, they might vote for a Whiggish person for governor, but they end up voting for a Democratish person in the General Assembly. And but by 1835, 1836, the poll books changed dramatically, and suddenly everyone is voting party line. And this is because the operatives are out in the field handing out basically the party ballot, and the voters are following the party ballot.
How much of that is also tied to growth in the patronage system through the Postal Service? I mean, the Postmaster General was like the second most powerful cabinet person in that era at the national level, and that was because he had a patronage army with each post office. As Illinois became more settled, there were more post offices, more patronage to hand out.
So that's referring to, as well, the federal layer. And that's why it took so long in Illinois. By the time you get to the 1830s and later, you have a lot more development. You have a lot more land offices opening up. You have a lot more post offices.
So did that also contribute to the polarization of everybody voting party line?
Yes, it did. I mean, there was an ideological component, but then there was also this transactional sort of jobs component, if you will. It's just that the federal government wasn't as big as you think. They were sort of the icing on the cake. And without a doubt, there were these networks and coalitions of U.S. senators and then state politicians. But the truth is, the federal level was less influential at that point. It is true, we tell the story of Abraham Lincoln getting his first postal appointment from, you know, Andrew Jackson. So that was in, I think, 1834 or 35. So it did happen that you got appointments from people. But, you know, there's also a famous story of Illinois being Van Burenized in 1827. And that was basically where Elias Kincaid, the U.S. senator, who was an ally of Van Buren, began to build, to make ties to the factions within Illinois. And they began to build a network. And I would say, though, that that network was as ideological and revolved around the narrative of the independent producer as much as it was transactional, dealing with did you get a job or not.
How has independent producerism continued as a theme in our politics even today?
I think you see it in our many people's reaction to the Affordable Care Act. People, when I would finally, you know, try to get them to explain to me why they were so opposed to it, in many cases, it was the fear of dependency on the state. You know, ultimately, it was basically people were going to lose their independence. And they would not be ultimately producers anymore. They would become dependent on the state. Now, you can argue that, in fact, perhaps providing opportunities for healthcare separate from a job would allow someone to leave their place of employment and take a risk and try a new opportunity. And you can talk about it that way, but that was never very persuasive. And I think in part because of this old tradition of the independent producer and the fear of dependency, of becoming dependent on the state. You just don't see the state as providing opportunities for independence. They think of it only as a device for creating dependency.
Professor Jim Simeone teaches political theory and law at Illinois Wesleyan University. He speaks tomorrow evening at 7 at the McLean County Museum of History on how frontier Illinois became the land of the independent producer and why it matters today. He is the author of Bottomland: Republic, Democracy, and Slavery in Frontier Illinois.